That's lovely, Jody. Yes. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you believe the magazines, a new year, a new you. That when you jump into the next year, you're going to have a spanking new wardrobe. You're going to be able to ask your boss for a raise. You're going to have all these wonderful things. You'll have the perfect house, and everything will come up roses because you'll have figured it out. And every year, gym memberships go up because everybody has to get fit. We all start our diets on January 1st. And then we realize by the end of January that it's all the same old routine. And we get really depressed. And if we're honest with each other, life can be downright boring. Think about it. You get up in the morning, you got to get dressed, got to get going, have chores to do. By the end of the day, you look back and say, what happened to the day? I would like to address this sermon as same old, or holy humdrum. Reminds me of Jesus' life before 30. Think about it. We have all the hoopla of him being born, and we have angels. Of course, he wouldn't have remembered anything about that. And then we hear nothing until he's 12 years old. And at 12 years old, he's like a typical adolescent. He decides to wander off away from the family. He hangs out in the temple, and his poor parents are searching for him for 3 days. And once they find him, what does he say? Well, what was the problem? I was fine. And I could just feel his parents' tension. And I thought, son of God or not, I would have smacked him all the way home to Nazareth. But that was newsworthy. That was the only newsworthy thing. And then from age 12 to 30, we hear one thing. Here's the summary. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. In other words, he learned stuff, he got older, and everybody liked him, including God. Nothing newsworthy. They didn't talk about when he first learned to construct a table because his dad was a carpenter, or when he went out to play, or when he went to synagogue, or what he did. There certainly weren't any miracles. So Jesus knows something about holy humdrum. How do we keep our faith alive and vibrant when things are the same old, when they're in dull routines? I learned something this year from a good friend of mine. This is a friend who I aspire to be like. Now, I really like to aspire to be like Jesus, but I figure if I miss the mark and I'm not like Jesus, I'd like to be like Delmar Dahl. Delmar Dahl is 88. We call him the pastor of Door County. If you've ever gone to lunch or breakfast or dinner with Delmar Dahl, it's a wonder that anybody can finish a meal. Because, first of all, he has to work the restaurant. He has to go to everybody, even if he doesn't know them, and chat at them. And if I'm sitting there with him, waves of people are coming to him to see him. He's a Baptist, but you'd never know it. He's been an interim pastor in every church, including this one. He loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind, and he loves to mix it up with people. And so what happened to him this summer? He was at Shepherd of the Bay Lutheran to be in their service, and then he was going to come to this service because he heard we were going to talk about one of his heroes, John Huss. So as he was exiting Shepherd of the Bay Lutheran, he lost his footing and fell and broke his hip. He gets out his cell phone, calls 911 and says, do not come with your sirens blaring because this church is in communion right now and I don't want to disturb them. Just come quietly and pick me up off the ground. So they picked him up, took him to the hospital, and then they brought him to Scandia Village Nursing Home where he had to recuperate. Now, you can imagine how difficult when you are mobile all the time and you're the one going to hospitals and you're the one taking care of people to be in a position where you have to be taken care of. Not only that, by children who could be your grandchildren, in some cases, great-grandchildren. He said one of the little nurses there, he remembers her before she was born, and she's taking care of him. So he started to think, as he's in Scandia Village, how this nursing home could be improved. It's an occupational hazard. We pastor types like to improve people's lives, and we just wish that people would listen to us once in a while. Life would be so much better and so much easier. And so he was starting to think, here are some policies that could be put in place. Here's some practices where this nursing home can be better. And he said, and then he realized that's not really what he was supposed to be concentrating on. He said, rather than think about how I'm going to make everybody else's life better, I should just think about how I can get better and that I want to be walking by my 88th birthday. And so that's all he concentrated on. And he said, and all of a sudden, all the things that I thought they were doing wrong were fine. Everything was fine. I thought, what an example that is when we're on the sidelines. When we're put on the sidelines, sometimes we just have to work on ourselves and not bother with all the other problems of the world and take care of what we're going to learn. So I learned that from Delmar Dahl. And of course, on his birthday, he's walking. I also learned that routines are very important. Jesus had routines. Think about the routines. The temple worship, they went out to Jerusalem every year. They went to the temple. They were very devout people. And, you know, I'm sure that sometimes Jesus sat there and probably thought, I could preach that better than he can. Look at that rabbi. You know, there are a lot of flaws in those arguments, but he never did that. But he had the habit. How do you think Jesus came to pray like he did and know the scriptures like he did? He was not hatched. It was a habit year after year. I had a wonderful experience yesterday. I was preaching over at SCAN, and I was talking about the new year. And, of course, when I choose hymns there, I choose very familiar hymns. And as I'm talking to the people and I'm giving this really wonderful sermon, one of the ladies has some cognitive issues was singing out, open my eyes that I may sing, that I may hear, or I may see. Well, now, that was something we had sung that song maybe 10 minutes ago. And now I'm preaching, and she's singing it loudly and perfectly. And she sang all three verses. And I thought, you know, it was a little unnerving for me, but my words couldn't reach her. But that song could. That was a song of her childhood. Those were songs that she had heard over and over again. And when nothing else could reach her, that song reached her. We need the habit. The routines are so very important. I like that Jesus was raised by a carpenter. Don't you think that's interesting? Why didn't God send him to a priest or a philosopher? But he was sent to a man who was a manual laborer. There is something very important with working with one's hands, with doing the daily chores. And I think because Jesus did that day in and day out for all those years, that every time we pick up a dish to wash, every time we hammer a nail, it's a sacred act. We think of the sacred as what happens in this church, but everything we do in our routines is sacred because it's something Jesus did, and he made manual labor sacred and infused with joy. Jesus also had a habit of praying. We think of how he prayed to his Father every single day. He prayed not only when things were going well, but when things weren't going well. He prayed when his prayers were answered and we saw great miracles, and he prayed in full trust when he was asking God for a way out and he didn't get it. The habit of prayer is so important, and Jesus reminds us that we are not praying for, we are talking to. And when I think of prayer that way, I think of how we've talked to the people we love, like our parents. I had the privilege every day for many years, I would talk to my mom. I would just call her up. I wouldn't talk about great philosophical things, just the basics, just the few things that we'd want to chat about each day. Sometimes it was Turkey Central, especially at Thanksgiving. I'd call her up and ask her what I should do because I'd forget. And when I was driving to Cedar Rapids to pick Robert up this last time, there was a big bulletin board as I'm driving, and it said, call your parents. And I looked at that and said, I would if I could. And as I'm driving, the tears are falling down my cheeks, and I thought, well, what would I say to them? And it was all about life here, the routine, the humdrum, the things that they've missed over the years. I think that's what prayer is about. It's giving God our day, talking to him about all the routine, the little things. Jesus said, when you talk to God, call him Dad, our Father. And that's something that we want to do in the new year. One of the other things I noticed about Jesus was he was a good guy and everybody liked him. It says he grew in favor with God and with people. He was a good guy. He wasn't doing miracles. He wasn't doing healings. He wasn't walking on water from 12 to 30. But he was probably doing some very kind, generous things for people who were in need. We need heroes when we have emergencies. We need heroes when there are fires to put out. But more often than not, what we need are decent, generous people who can help when there's a need. He also spent time observing. When you think of Jesus, we always think of him in action. But those years beforehand, he was watching. He was observing human behavior. He was watching how people reacted. And because of that, think about the people that he surrounded himself with. He surrounded himself with people that nobody else wanted. But I think his observations over the years, he realized that the people that society wanted to throw away really had worth. So let's use this time, this 2016, in observing, in listening, in helping people out. I think of one of my friends when I had some real difficulties in life. This friend was struggling with cancer, and she was having her own struggles. But she saw that our family was in need. We were having a really rough time. My father was ill, my mother had died, and we were just going on empty at that point. And she sent over, even though she had cancer and she was sick herself, she sent over one day a ham dinner with all the trimmings, just because we needed it. These are the kinds of things we need to be doing in 2016. So how do we keep faith alive and happy and sparkling? We celebrate the humdrum. So next time we're doing dishes, sing. When we're sidelined like Delmar Dahl, take the opportunity to learn from it. Be quick to listen and to observe. Talk to your dad in heaven about the little stuff. Come to worship even when you don't feel like it. And be a good person. take the time to do the little things that mean so much. I got through the whole sermon, so we're going to stand and sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, sing with a cheerful voice, exalt our God with one accord, and in his name rejoice. Ne'er cease to sing, O ransomed host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, until in realms of endless light your praises shall unite. There we to all eternity shall join the angelic lays and sing in perfect harmony to God our Savior's praise. He has redeemed us Jody, you can now ring the bell. It's midnight. Oh, you did? Okay. Our daily text for January 1st, 2016. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Lord, through you all things are possible. As we sit at the precipice of a new year, may we look upon it with hope and expectation of what you will enable us to do in your name and through your love. As we close in prayer, why don't we join hands with each other?